All right, hey folks, Larry here, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, show number 220, recording this Sunday, April 1st, 2007, and following up to last week's spectacular show, I have E along with me.
Hello, everybody.
So, E, you were busy this week.
We had a few things to do this week.
So last week I had you on because I wanted to talk about the maintenance, and your team did the maintenance.
Yep.
And I'm booting up Windows in the back. Do you hear that?
Yes, you are.
So it interrupted us. But one of the things, what happened? I went a little long.
We did go a little long.
Uh-huh.
Should probably start off by telling everyone we are very sorry. We try very hard to stick to our Windows, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And this was one of those cases where it just didn't. We were on track. We were looking good. I didn't want to say anything to anyone. I didn't want to jinx it. But we were looking like we were probably going to be done about an hour ahead of schedule, which was kind of what I'd been hoping for.
And I, just to be clear, I was in your office frequently. And
yes, you came in and I...
Kicked me out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Get out. Look of death.
And then a couple of hours before we were ready to, you know, turn the lights back on, we found a really heinous bug. Just one of those bugs where... You know, it wasn't something where we could turn things back on and it'd be okay.
Right.
It was something that we had to fix before we could turn things back on.
And of course, everyone is sitting there going, oh, E, tell us what the bug was. Tell us what the bug was.
Yeah, and I can't.
And he can't, right.
It sucked, but everyone, you know, pulled together. We went and grabbed a couple of developers, a couple of testers, and they got in there and... You know, in a few hours, they were able to find it, fix it, get us new code, and we were able to get things going. And I was reading the comments on your blog.
Before, as it melted down? As the blog? But we'll talk about that in a minute.
As it melted down, and then later. And a bunch of people were asking, you know, hey, why don't you guys have time in the schedule? Believe me, we put plenty of slack in the schedule because guaranteed at least one major thing will go wrong anytime you touch this many devices.
And there's a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah. And one of the things that you learn over time is, you know, when you have a bunch of servers that don't get rebooted very often, they're most likely to fail when you reboot them during a major maintenance like this.
Right.
So you assume you're going to have... You know, a couple of hardware failures. You know, something's going to go wrong and a new code upgrade won't take on a router, or a file is going to be corrupted and you'll have to recopy it. You plan for those kind of things.
Right.
So we had hours in the schedule that were for nothing but buffer time for things to go wrong.
Right.
And it just so happened that what went wrong was hard enough to figure out that we didn't have enough buffer hours in the schedule.
We ran out of rope.
Pretty much, yep. given what the problem was, the team did a great job of pulling together and finding it and fixing it as quickly as they did. It, you know, that doesn't make it any better from an end user point of view, but the problem's resolved, the service is working, and we're feeling really good about, you know, where things are today.
Now, last week we talked about the fact that this maintenance may be the last one in terms of that users may see.
That's the hope.
Are you still feeling good about that?
Until we get closer to the next major upgrade, it's hard to say. We've got a lot of plans in place to let us do these kind of things without this kind of downtime. My hope is that if we do have to turn the service off for downtime, it'll be one of our three-hour middle-of-the-night kind of things,
mm-hmm.
which we do a couple of times a year. We'll take the service down during the slowest...
Wait a minute. The middle of our night, you're going to hear some... our friends in the UK are going to start crying right now. It's the middle of our day!
I was just getting to that.
Okay.
For everyone who wonders why, when you turn the service off, why do you do it when you do it, that's all based around when are there the least number of people playing.
Okay.
It's not a, you know, most convenient for anybody. Trust me, there are a lot of people who wish we didn't do it in the middle of the night because it... blows their sleep schedule for days.
Right, because the middle of our night is, you know, that's what happens when you run a global service.
Right.
So you guys look at the numbers and you're like, okay, this is when it's going to impact the least number of people.
Right. So ideally, we won't be taking it down anymore, so nobody's going to know or care when we're doing maintenance.
Well, they're all going to care.
Well, they won't care if they don't know.
The good
the goal is that we won't ever have to announce again, hey, we're doing maintenance. Now, that's not realistic.
Right.
Things are going to happen.
Right.
A day will come that we will have to turn the service off to do something.
Right.
But hopefully it will happen much less frequently. And when it does happen, the time period will be a heck of a lot shorter.
So what, you didn't have a war room this time.
No.
We were using your office.
We kind of used my office. We kind of used, a conference call, some distributed whiteboards.
Distributed whiteboards, that's fancy.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Fancy terminology for a couple of whiteboards in a couple of different places. Honestly, I think more than anything it comes down to, with a lot of people who've done this a lot of times, we don't need the one giant central conference room.
Right.
As much as we used to. With the exception of this one issue, which obviously was a huge one,
right?
Things actually went really smoothly and according to plan.
Well, that's kind of cool. So it was done, and then you slept for like a day. How long were you up?
So I got back here that night about a half hour before we started the maintenance.
Right.
I actually grabbed a couple of short naps in the middle of the night when there was zero for me to do or worry about, because I'm mainly, I'm keeping an eye on things. I'm, occasionally asking questions, but I'm not the one doing the work. The team is actually doing all the work.
Right.
So I got a couple hours of sleep in there. And then, of course, since then, my sleep schedule's all messed up. Last night I went to bed at 6 p.m. I woke up at 2 in the morning.
You got a crazy sleep schedule anyway.
Yeah, I was on IM till like 5, and then I slept from 5 to 7.
Why are you on IM till 5? Who are you IMing with at 5?
My girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Because she doesn't go to sleep till 5 in the morning.
Yeah, she's got some crazy sleep schedule too.
Yeah, so mine will go back to normal in a couple of days. It happens every time we do something like
there that. There was a... there is a time where you don't have a lot to do because you're just waiting for someone to finish their specific tasks.
Right, and you've got multiple people doing different things. At 3 a.m. our time, there might be, two people are working on upgrading some routers. You've got three other people doing some server work. You've got a database engineer making some schema changes and migrating some data.
Right, right.
And some of those jobs just, you start them and then you sit there and watch to see if they either succeed or fail. And during that time, I spent some time playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, what you were playing. You were playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
I played that, and I came in and gave you my feedback on that.
Yes.
And you plowed through it.
I finished it in, I guess, 2 play sessions. I played it a little while the maintenance was going on, and there was honestly nothing for me to do.
Right.
And then a couple nights later, I just zoomed through the rest of it. I had just seen the movie, actually... I saw the movie a couple hours before the maintenance.
Right.
So I was kind of in a turtle mood.
Well, that's good.
So.
And did you like it?
I loved the movie. The movie was great.
But?
Definitely worth seeing. The game...
It's an acquired taste.
It's fun. It's kind of platformy. It's kind of button mash. It's not a... it's not a 9 out of 10.
Right.
But I had fun with it.
Yeah, I just started playing last night. In fact, you and I were just talking about this. I just started playing Meet the Robinsons.
I haven't even seen that one.
I haven't seen the movie. I mean, I just started playing the game, and it's a quick 40 or 50-point game. We're scoring like 20 minutes, guys. Just a little hint here. So I started playing that. I haven't played that much this week because I was dealing with the maintenance of the service. And then, of course, we talked about my site went. It was the Major Nelson March Madness Meltdown.
Yes.
It just went bleh. We had like 5 million page views on MajorNelson.com in two days. So Centricom.net, the guys who host for me, threw some hardware. They threw some accelerator. I was telling you about it. I don't even know what this thing is. But it's
probably an offload for, static images, that kind of thing, like the header
right.
for the web page.
Right.
If you offload that into an appliance that sits in front of the web servers, it takes a lot of the load off them, and it never changes, so the appliance doesn't have to worry about
right.
what it looks like every time it's rendered.
So these guys put some... And we're still working on it. We're doing a couple upgrades in the back end, but, of course, Lithion, who works on the blog, is in Japan.
Yes.
Can't wait to hear about that. You know I love Japan.
Yes.
Love Japan. Can't wait to go there. So anyway, so the blog is slowly coming back. I made a post about that. Speaking of the upgrade, we talked about no new features, and there are no new features for the console because this is preparing for the spring or the...
It's preparing for lots of future things.
Right, lots of future things. But there is one little feature that I was able to sneak in, and that was the Xbox.com one.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool little feature.
So for those of you that don't know, I put a post up on this. One of the questions, I know E, you probably get this question. Well, actually, you don't, because you got that silly Oregon logo all the time.
Not all the time. I actually just changed it back to that when we were making the run in the NCAA.
But
excuse me, NCAA, they get upset when people call it the NCAA.
Since when?
They will take notes during the broadcast on CBS, and if an announcer calls it the NCAA, they will complain in writing to CBS about it. They are the NCAA.
Is there an NCAA that's like a bad thing? I mean, is there another organization? I didn't know that.
They're just the
NCAA. Where did you read this?
I heard it on ESPN.
I did not know that. Yes,
it was actually, I don't remember who was being interviewed, but it was a longtime announcer,
uh-huh.
Billy Packer or something like that. And they were actually saying, yeah, this is the kind of thing that they pay very close attention.
You know, we had this discussion before, but I went to school with Mike Tirico.
Yes.
Who's the big ESPN guy.
You went to Syracuse.
Went to Syracuse, so that's like
the whole... You guys aren't any good at sports, but great at broadcasting.
We were good at sports in our heyday.
When was that?
In the 80s.
Oh, okay.
You know, in the 80s. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Hold on.
We have a guest.
We got to talk. So we got to come back and talk about this thing. So okay. Come on in. Come on. Yes. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, just coming in and close the door. This is Trixie. Hello, Trixie.
Hi.
Here, we'll give you an ease mic for a minute. So,
dude, did you slobber on this?
I did.
God.
What brings you into the office?
Well, I was just walking by and I saw you guys in here. Oh, I'm trying not to talk.
What are you doing in here? It's Sunday. You working on Sunday?
You know me, nose to the grindstone all the time.
So what do you got?
So I just want to let you guys know.
Well, she's coming in with an agenda. Look
I
at
am.
This.
I've always got an agenda. Oh, I forgot. Major Nelson gave me some good advice about my voice because everyone thinks it's annoying and
right.
high-pitched. He said,
right.
a little less Minnie Mouse, more Jessica Rabbit. So.
I think that was appropriate.
Are you making fun of my ears, E?
So.
Jessica Rabbit's a hottie. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Anyway.
I just pulled the numbers on the top 25 gamer tags served by Xbox.com. I'm not going to read you all 25.
So that's within a month or what's
within
the...
Within a month.
Within a month. So the month of March.
So it's through the...
Because here we are on April 1st, and you wanted to go back and see what was going on in March.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So for March, the top gamer tags... I'm just going to give you the top 10 because 25 is too long. Number one is Major Nelson.
Good. Cool.
Number two was Frantic PMS, who was... featured in the Gamer Spotlight. I think that had something to do with it. Plus, she kicks ass, and she's awesome. Number three is Strip Club DJ.
Okay.
Number four is Trixie360. Woohoo!
Which is
number
you.
Number five is our little friend E.
E? What are you doing at number... What's he doing at five?
Hell if I know. People find him interesting for some messed up reason.
Okay.
Number six was Rant6. Number seven is Nismo Joe.
Uh-huh.
Number eight is I'm Getting Huge, which I think I'm going to send him a
Okay, right. Yes.
You shut up, you.
Maybe he's somebody who's trying to put some weight on for training.
Oh. Yeah, or he could just be playing World of Warcraft and just gaining weight by the hour.
Okay.
So anyway, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine is Angel of Evil, and number 10 is Skisram, which I hope doesn't mean something dirty in another language, because that would
be these are the... So let's just be clear. These are the top 10 gamer tags on Xbox.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so this isn't like across the internet or in the... Does this include the forums?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So yeah, some of these people may be posting like... Cuckoo.
Like cuckoo.
And also, I wanted to mention that Dirty Diva's at number 15 and PMS Kitty is at number 20.
Okay, we know those people.
We do know those people.
Now, I want to talk about the video.
Okay.
So, I haven't posted about this yet, but I'll put a link up in this show. Have you seen the video, E?
I have seen the video.
So just why don't you tell people what the video is about?
So, this was just an opportunity for the community to turn the tables on Major Nelson and ask you some questions. Not so much about Xbox and policy and support and Elite and all that kind of stuff that we know you want to know about, but just sort of get to know you more.
Right.
So they submitted a bunch of questions, and you and I recorded a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Video Monkey videotaped it.
Right. So you're going to have you have the video up on Xbox.com.
It is up on Xbox.com right now, yeah.
And it's actually an interesting video.
It's pretty interesting. Major Nelson makes some interesting revelations.
I was being funny. I didn't realize the video was rolling.
Whatever.
Here's a clue, kids. In this generation, the video is always rolling.
That's right. So don't do anything you wouldn't do On video.
On video.
Some of you, that probably doesn't make much of a difference, but...
Yeah, you know, because normally the video that you appear in is kind of grainy, and it's kind of shot at night.
Night vision.
Night vision, and...
Stop! It was college. I was experimenting.
Ew. So, what else you got?
So I thought, I came in here and I have an Xbox 101 for
you. Oh, hold on a minute. Well, normally we do the Xbox 101 at the end of the show, but since this is kind of a April Fool's edition, which I hate April Fool's, but this is a...
You hate every holiday.
That's not true.
That's true.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
Halloween is not a holiday.
Yes, it is, and it's my favorite
It is
holiday.
Not a holiday.
It's one of them, and yes, Major Nelson does pretty much hate all holidays.
And Major Nelson's a big grouch.
That's
right?
Not true. Yeah. I don't like... I'm looking back in my calendar, and I'm pretty sure that we do not get Halloween off as a holiday.
It's not a holiday if you don't get it off. Do you think Veterans Day isn't a holiday? We don't get that off at Microsoft.
It's optional.
What up?
We had a big party for it, therefore it's a holiday.
And I went to the party.
That's true. For like 5 minutes in your cowboy outfit.
That was a very lame...
Well, it is red on my calendar, but so it's National Bosses Day on October 16th.
Oh.
So, anyway, so...
I need to start sucking up to my boss.
So, anyway, so April 1st, and where the hell was I going with this?
Xbox 101.
Oh, Xbox 101, so we usually do that...
Do you want me to come back later?
No, we usually do it at the end of the show. You're in here, and any chance to get you out of here as quick as possible, we'll go ahead and
excellent.
Do.
Excellent. Love you,
so
David.
So, we got to play the song. Here's Xbox 101.
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, this is something that I just did, and it was really convenient and cool, and I don't know how many of you know about it, but you can actually purchase Microsoft points on Xbox.com.
You can?
You can.
How do you do that?
Well, what you do is you sign into my Xbox.
Right, so you go to Xbox.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see sign in, right. And if you got your gamer tag.
You sign in, and then you select profile.
And then you go to my Xbox, you click manage profile.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then you, down on the right side, you can see add Microsoft points.
You click that.
You click that, and then you've got 5 choices, basically.
What do you have?
You can, well, if you've bought a points card at retail, which, you know, we love it when you do that, and our retail friends love it when you do that, you can redeem the code here. Or you can buy 4 different sized bundles of Xbox points. You can buy it in 500 points, 1,000, 2,000.
So it's small, medium, large, and super size.
Super large and freaking huge.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I just did it because I'm going to go download
Shivering
Poison
Isles.
Ivy 2. No, whoops.
Poison Ivy 2?
Yeah.
What is that?
That's the number one downloaded movie on the marketplace. Right
so for everyone who's in North America.
Yeah.
Don't rub it in, you know.
Oh, Lord.
In the United States,
yes,
I'm sorry.
In the United States.
You're going to download... I know why you're downloading Poison.
Listen, Milana's naked in it. That's why everyone's downloading.
See earlier conversation about experimentation. Well, that's certainly interesting.
I think that's why they...
I thought you were downloading Shivering Isles.
I might do that. Somebody just told me this great trick because I'm mentally defective in some ways, and I was just telling the Bethesda guys at GDC, I love Oblivion, but why can't I just turn off things attacking me? Because I just want to ride my horse, I want to change some outfits,
because I really
talk to people, but you know, crap's always flying out of the woods. There's gargoyles, there's wolves. I accidentally killed my horse.
What was your horse's name?
I don't know.
All girls name their horses.
I wasn't a horse girl.
Oh, really?
No. I never went through that intermediary phase. You know how
ponies.
Little girls like horses, and then they like.
So
horses.
Xbox 101, getting back, is you're able to purchase points on Xbox.com.
Yes, and it's super easy. And what's really great is if you are redeeming a code, it's way, way easier to type it in on your computer than, you know, type it out on
you click it next, you just, and we got all the little things, you just light it right here.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right,
yeah,
I'm down
it's
with
really
that.
Easy and really cool. So
Trixie's Xbox 101, you learned how to enter points on Xbox.com. Very simple. You can purchase and redeem a code.
Yep.
We also learned about the experimentation and things you're afraid of.
Yes.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, that's all. But congratulations on being in Wired. That's
oh, thank
exciting.
You. Thank you. Wired Magazine.
Very, very cool. I love that magazine. And also for being number one gamertag.
Yeah. Have I ever not been number one?
I think you slipped to number 2 once.
That's okay.
A couple weeks.
That's okay.
But yeah, you're usually number 1. I do a lot.
Well, it's because I'm out there yakking away. I mean, it has nothing.
Yeah, we know. Trust me and E aren't all that impressed by you. But you know, I know the kids out there are.
Okay, so it's you're gonna go. You need to go.
I'm gonna go bye bye now.
You're gonna go bye bye now.
Okay, I'm gonna give the mic back to E.
Okay. All right, so you're leaving. She's actually leaving. She's going out. See, look at this. Trixie's in here on Sunday. E's in here on Sunday. It's crazy. We're hardworking kids. All right, so you and I were talking about, we were talking about Xbox.com.
We were.
The new feature.
Yes, okay.
The new feature. So what happened was is I get a lot of questions of where did I get that gamer picture from? So I was able to talk to one of our developers, and he added this cool thing where basically when you're up looking, when you see if someone's gamer card on Xbox.com, you can just take your mouse pointer, hover over it, and it'll tell you, it won't tell you exactly where it's from, but it'll tell you kind of what title it's associated from.
Right. So you'll get the hint of Crackdown or Madden or whatever it happens to be, which is very cool.
Or Castlevania.
Castlevania. Yeah, the Castlevania ones, I actually bought those the other day.
Yeah, so it's kind of a neat feature, and a lot of people actually were complaining that it wasn't working with Firefox. The Mozilla cats were coming out and talking it wasn't working with Firefox.
Sure.
We fixed that.
Cool.
So it works with Firefox now. Works better with Firefox, I should say. So that was a cool feature. So maintenance, let's swing back over the show notes. Well, wait a minute. Do you want to talk anything more about maintenance, or are we done with that?
I think we're good.
One of the things that we need to talk about, look at this, my levels are way hot here, I need to turn it down. The Elite.
Oh, yes.
The Elite announcement this week, my special midweek show with Albert.
Yep.
You listened to that.
Yep. I listened to that while the... Or when did I listen to that? Day after the maintenance?
Yeah, I think it must have been day after the maintenance. Yeah. When you were like, when you're all tired.
Yeah.
After everything.
It's hard to tell if I'm tired or just like that.
Right. So what do you think of the Elite and the hard drive? And?
I'm buying one. I need another 360.
Yeah, how many do you have at home?
I have two.
Right.
Which unfortunately this is going to sound really stupid, but I need three because there are times when I want to play something, my girlfriend wants to play something, and my son wants to play something, and we wind up bickering, so it's just much simpler to buy one more,
right?
And then I'm good.
So you bought your girlfriend a 360?
It's my 360, but I have it. Again, this is going to sound really dumb, but in my living room, I have two televisions and multiple consoles, and that way we can hang out together without one of us sitting there, you know, going, okay, I'm ready to get online and play something now.
Right.
So we can both play Halo 2 without having to play split screen, or one of us can, you know, be playing Halo 2 and other person playing, you know, something else, or even the Wii, or
right,
who knows what.
So you've got three Xboxes.
I will once I get my Elite. That'll be the third 360 in the house.
Right.
And there's the Wii, and there's other
consoles. You gonna get a larger hard drive? Do you need one?
I don't. Having one on the Elite will be plenty.
Yeah. So. But I'm saying, are you going to get it for any of your other boxes?
No, because I've kind of got the one main box that's on the big TV. And
right.
That's where I do almost everything.
You're big.
So
you got
having the Elite on that will be fine.
Well, what was that again? You got a 65-inch Mitsubishi?
That's what I have right now.
Right.
Yeah. I'm looking. I think we talked about TVs at CES.
Yeah, CES.
So I've got my eyes on this new Samsung that actually isn't out yet. Because my Mitsubishi, you can tell, it's 6 years.
It's getting long in the tooth.
Yeah, and the bulbs are not as bright as they used to be, and if I was going to hang on to it, I'd have to replace all the bulbs in it. I'm just going to, you know, sell it, put it on, you know, eBay or whatever.
You're going to put your TV on eBay? That thing's enormous.
Yeah, someone's going to have to come pick it up.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Ease TV on eBay. If you want to buy Ease TV, let us know. So that's the Elite announcement this week. I don't know what else we could say about that. I mean, it's just kind of cool. It's coming out the end of April. There's been a lot of pluses and minuses. People are, as usual, the gamer community is, you know, spun up on conversation.
Yeah.
At least we give them a lot of talk. We give them a lot to talk about.
Yes. Personally, I love the fact that it's black. I like black. My AV.
Oh, I got a black controller.
Black.
You know, Albert gave me this black controller.
Yes, which is very cool looking.
Yeah. So just to be clear, I've got a couple Xboxes in my office with a big screen, with a big LCD, and this is nice. And I was just telling E this when I broke it out. There's a certain new controller feel to this. It's not all worn in yet. Like I have a launch controller. Actually, it's before launch, and the A button's all smushy.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I actually, when you said it the other day, I was like, huh?
Yeah.
And then I went home, and I always use the controller that came with our
launch console. Oh, for God's sakes. What the hell did you do here? Why is my guide this different color?
What are you talking about? Oh, the theme I bought for you the
other
day?
What is this? So here's a problem. I leave my Xbox on all the time in my office.
No, you were still here. You were just turned around and facing your computer and not paying attention.
So what? So I just looked at my... Oh, for God's sakes.
For those of you who don't know, there is a theme you can buy for your dashboard. I believe it's called the Hello Kitty Kitty theme. and I think it's 150 points.
So you spent 150 my points when I wasn't looking.
Yes, and then I applied the Hello Kitty Kitty theme to your deck.
But it's not Hello Kitty at all. It's kind of like pastel-y kitties in the background.
They're
blue and green and purple and orange.
And they kind of look like they're lunging at you and rabid.
Yeah, they do. They got their mouths open. They're going...
I think it's great. It's clearly you.
Yeah, kitties.
Uh-huh.
So, no, I don't... You know how I feel about cats.
I happen to like cats a little more than you do.
Anyways. Thank you for the kitty theme. Thank you for spending 150 of my points.
You're welcome. I was testing the service.
Yeah, testing the service. So the black controller is cool, and the black elite is going to be cool.
The black looks very cool. You know, the important thing, though, is I think for everyone to remember that your games don't play any different on an elite.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need another console, if you really want HDMI, even though, you know, personally I can't see the difference between HDMI and component.
Right.
You know, it's a nice box, but Crackdown is going to be identical on a Core, a Pro, and an Elite. So get one if you want one, but it's not like your box suddenly became obsolete.
Right, yeah. That's a lot of people forget that, you know, you're right. They're going to run exactly the same. There's no difference.
Yes.
I'm changing my, you know, one of the things I always do is I always have my theme on carbon.
Oh, it's not the Hello Kitty Kitty theme. It's the Here Kitty Kitty theme.
Yeah, Here Kitty. I got my Syracuse theme, but we're not going to use that because next year.
Okay.
You know, we already talked about that. And we also, you know, a lot of people sent me that article we talked about last week about the mascots beating each other up. That Oregon mascot going off the grid.
But that was years ago. I thought you were talking about something that had, you know, just happened.
So did I.
So...
So did I.
Okay.
So, all right. So Elite is Elite. We've talked about that. Well, more details with that. Someone's IMing me here. What else do we have? We talked about the site. Oh, I didn't get to do the top 10 list this week. Friday. Last Friday, I was unable to do it. Or, you know, Friday ago, I was unable to do it because I was doing security stuff. This, you know, a couple days ago, I wasn't able to do it because the reporting stuff is still coming online from the maintenance.
Yeah, we have so much data.
Right. Volumes of data.
You know, that for people who are into, you know, data warehousing, we have big OLAP cubes.
Right.
That are basically ways to look at the data of how many people are playing each game, how many people downloaded each downloadable content, that kind of thing. And even with, you know, some fairly high-end systems, it takes hours and days to process some of that data. So we upgraded the reporting system on Tuesday as part of the maintenance.
Right.
And now all those cubes have to rebuild, and that just takes a while.
Cool. So hopefully it'll be back. We'll have the top 10 this week. And I don't want to talk about it, but I'll just tease it. Apparently there's some cool new reports that I may be able to share with some people.
There's a whole bunch of new reports as far as what you're allowed to share.
Yeah, exactly. It's a difference.
A whole nother
I know. It's a whole other story.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with the top 10s this week. Trixie and I talked about Wired Magazine. All right, hey, we got an interview. Def Jam Icon. Why don't we roll into that right now? All right, on the line with me today is Kudo from the EA Chicago office. Kudo, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Very excited to be on, Microsoft Live podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're the GM of EA Chicago, and you're also the executive producer of Def Jam Icon, correct?
Yeah, so, you know, it's definitely like it's two different jobs. I mean, I think the GM job is a little bit more of, you know, kind of that running the studio job. It's just, you know, when I was 7 years old, just sitting in my basement playing Space Invaders, it wasn't like I was dreaming of the day that I could sit in a big budget meeting or, you know, a big studio process meeting. So I try and hold on to my executive producer title as long as I can so I can keep making games.
Yeah, so you Def Jam Icon out for the Xbox 360. Let's your legacy goes back pretty far in gaming. So can you walk down your gaming resume for me before we get into Def Jam Icon?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's starting to get to the point in my career where I don't enjoy going through the long history of my career as it kind of dates me at this point. But, you know, really, I mean, I started in games 10 years ago at a company called Philips Media. And back in those days, Philips Media was still making, you know, one of the first disc-based consoles, the CDI.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my first job in the gaming industry was actually as a gameplay hintline operator. So just like answering the phone, you know, people, hey, I'm stuck in level 7. Where's the golden key?
Right.
$2.99 a minute. I'd explain to them, you know, where the key was. So that
When it's $2.99 a minute, are you talking real slow?
You know, anybody who's like talked to me probably knows that I don't really have a slow mode in my talking. So, you know, it's I go pretty quick. And plus, you know, I think the way the call system was actually actually set up back then was like $2.99 for the first minute, 99 cents after that. So the faster you could go, the faster you could get on to the next $2.99 minute customer.
Right, and that makes sense. So you, so from there, where did you go?
So I actually got promoted from the Hintline operator room at Philips Media up to the QA department, where I spent 3 months testing a Mary Lamb Chop Does Arithmetic sock puppet game, which was very exciting. And, you know, actually at that point I had, you know, I actually felt like, wow, that was a big career step up, and I'd made it in gaming because I'd gotten out of the call center and into QA where you're actually working on the games. But that was all at Philips Media. Then I ended up moving to a production coordinator job at this place called Real Time Associates in LA, where I had, you know, overly exciting tasks like getting people's lunches, cleaning out the supply cabinets, you know, helping set up computers, stuff like that. But, you know, within a few months there, I got promoted up to assistant producer on, you know, my first real game project, which was Battle Stations. It's actually a PlayStation 1 game made by EA, ironically enough, but it was kind of like my first fighting game. Sure. Even though it's like a naval arcade game, it was kind of like Street Fighter, but with ships, and you could duke it out with all these kinds of different types of ships.
Yep.
So from there, actually, on that project, the producer ended up quitting like halfway through the project. You know, I'd been working as an assistant producer for 3 months. They didn't have anybody else to run the project, so I was the one, you know, in the best position to take it on, and actually ended up finaling that project from like an assistant producer position, got promoted up to associate producer, then to producer, all at that company, and then ended up, like, they were doing a lot of Lightspan kind of educational projects that they started moving away from,
right,
you know, console entertainment games and into edutainment more, which, nothing wrong with that. It just wasn't my exact cup of tea.
Right.
And so I ended up going to this company called Cyclone, which was actually wholly owned by the 3DO company at that time. But, you know, in my 5 years at Cyclone / 3DO, I did, like, Uprising X, this kind of real-time strategy, first-person shooter hybrid for PlayStation, which is a great game. I recommend people checking it out. And then worked on the Armament Air Attack series, so doing a lot of, you know, like these kind of toy helicopter games. Ended up doing some, you know, the Johnny Mosley Mad Tricks game, a couple of other, like, kind of shooter, vehicular combat-type games. And then ended up, you know, I got promoted up to, like, executive producer, you know, through the ranks, you know, producer, senior producer, executive producer at 3DO. Ended up coming over here to EA Vancouver is actually where I started. So the Vancouver office in EA went back to a producer title. EA actually kind of knocked me down a couple of pegs to come work there. But, you know, we ended up doing Fight Night 2004, which was the first game that I'd worked on for EA. And, you know, EA, like, they'd always wanted to open up a studio in the Chicago area. We got stuff on the West Coast, stuff on the East Coast. New Effects, which was this developer that we worked with in doing Fight Night 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'd worked with them for 8 years exclusively. Like, everybody knew each other real well. So we ended up what I like to call merging with New Effects.
Mm-hmm.
New Effects became EA Chicago. And then I ended up going to one of those meetings where, you know, two or three executives sit in a room and say, hey, we're thinking about purchasing this New Effects studio. You worked with them. What do you think? You know, asking you a bunch of questions. And, you know, after getting all the data out, they're like, okay, well, we think we're going to move ahead with it. And now all we need is somebody to move out to Chicago and run the studio. And then all of a sudden, everyone in the meeting is looking at you, and you're kind of like, huh, what?
Yeah, what?
And the next thing you know, I'm in Chicago, the GM of EA Chicago. So
next you know, it's 12 below, and you're in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's kind of funny, especially at the time, you know, I had my girlfriend up in Vancouver, and there's you know, there's lots of good things about Vancouver, certainly. So it wasn't like I was, oh my gosh, I need to leave Vancouver and go somewhere else. But, you know, the people at the EA Chicago studio, it's such a great team, like, not only talented people, but such fun people to work with. And, like,
right,
I don't know, I'm such a big believer in, like, how much fun you have, like, how much fun a team has while making the game definitely kind of shows through in the product, you know.
Yeah, and it translates to the game and then ultimately to the end user.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just, you know, like, working with the people out at New Effects and, you know, like, EA Chicago, the people who became the EA Chicago team members, it's just such a good group of people and people I had so much fun working with that, you know, while it definitely cost me my girlfriend who ended up breaking up with me because I moved and,
yeah,
you know, the winters are a lot harsher here for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a good group of people. It's totally been worth it.
Now, one of the things I noticed as you're talking about your resume, I was doing a little research for you. You've got a history, you know, you talked about some of the games you worked on, and other than the sock puppet game, and apologies, I don't remember that one, but I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure that wasn't a fighting game, but you've been doing a lot of fighting games throughout your career.
I mean, I think it's not only just fighting games, but like, I think multiplayer games as a whole, you know, even when I was working on like the Army and AeroTech helicopter games, we had great multiplayer components. And I think that's like, you know, as far as, you know, I've been a game player all my life, you know, going back all the way to Pong, which is, you know, the original awesome multiplayer game, you know, but like, I always feel like the part of gaming that, you know, I really get enthused and excited about, it isn't so much the, hey, look at me, I'm a social outcast and I'm sitting in the basement by myself playing video games, you know, as much as the, hey, here's a great multiplayer game where like the game itself is more of like a forum or a medium for human interaction, you know? Like, that's why to me, it's, I don't think it's so much just the fighting games as much as I really dig on the multiplayer play and being able to like, you know, play somebody else, whether it's online or sitting right there, you know, in front of the TV with you. And so, you know, I think also a big part of it is I love trash talking. And so it's just a good vehicle for me for trash talking. So, you know, I think it's like, yeah, I'm all about the multiplayer play and, you know, getting groups or, you know, multiple people, you know, all interacting with the software at the same time and like more having the software as a, you know, a forum for other human beings to interact as opposed to just the end, you know, one person interacting with the software solo.
Right. One of the games that came out of your studio was Fight Night Round 3.
Yep.
And that was just, I mean, that was launched last year at 2006 at CES. Remember Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer on stage, you know, using that to fight. And then it debuted on the Xbox Live Marketplace.
Yep.
What was it like working on that game, and what did you take from that game to move into your newest game, Def Jam Icon?
I mean, I think it's like, you know, a lot of what we're trying to do with our studio here at EA Chicago is, you know, our studio is working exclusively, you know, like on next-gen consoles, right? And you look at the Xbox 360, and, you know, when Fight Night Round 3 was coming out, one thing we really focused on was, like, let's not make a current-gen game with up-resed graphics and call it an Xbox 360 title. Like, let's really use the power of the Xbox 360 to figure out a new way for people to play games, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think there's all kinds of stuff that, you know, both as game designers and game makers, that people kind of have legacy baggage on, you know, hey, this is the way games have always been done, and therefore we need to make the game this way, that we really try and break away from in all of the EA Chicago products. And I think Fight Night Round 3, you can look at like, you know, one, we wanted to build like a much more immersive gameplay experience, something that makes you feel more like, you know, you're in the game as opposed to somebody sitting on the sofa playing the game. And things we did for that were like the HUDless gameplay system, right?
Right.
So instead of having like a health bar on the screen where it's like, okay, I'm going to look and see what my boxer's health is, which is totally unnatural and, you know, a false set of rules imposed upon you by the game designers, let's use the power of the 360 to make it much more like you're actually in the ring. And if you're in the ring, it's not like you're looking up at the Jumbotron in the arena to see what the health of the other boxer is.
Yeah.
You're looking at the damage you've done right on their face and, you know, how they're carrying their body language, and all the kinds of things that like we couldn't do on current gen consoles. But with the Xbox 360, you finally had the power to really pay off in a way that was more meaningful than a health meter.
Yeah, it was definitely wild when all of a sudden you're playing Fight Night, and you're right, there's no health meter. It's just you and the other person, and you're duking it out. I mean, it was pretty intense.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I think there's also stuff that like game designers do where it's like, okay, so we had these big impact punches in Fight Night Round 3, right? That could like totally trigger like instant knockdowns or a first person mode, all these different impact punches. And like, you know, lots of times game designers, I think when you approach, you know, in fighting games, or, you know, which Fight Night basically is a fighting game, like, you know, you've got this, okay, here's this kind of super move or this powerful move that you can unleash in a fighting game. And lots of times, like, game designers do things where it's like, okay, look, you can only use this three times in a fight, or after it's been charged up, then you can use it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, again, those things to me are kind of things where it's like, they're, you know, like fake rules imposed upon the person playing the game by the game designers, you know? And like, that's kind of an old school way of looking at things where it's like, you know, to me, if you and I are like in the ring fighting, it's not like if I've got this awesome punch, I can only throw it once it's been charged up, or I can only throw it three times a fight. It's like, you know, in boxing, it's all about you've got this big punch and figuring out, well, how can I set up the best time to use it to make sure it's effective, right? I can throw it at any time, but it's easy to defend, or the other person can punch me and stop it from landing. And instead of like imposing, you know, fake rules on the person playing that totally takes you out of the kind of immersive experience and makes you feel more like you're just, you know, playing a game. You know, we really tried to do stuff with the impact punches where it's like you really could throw them at any time, but it was all about, you know, how you set the punch up and how you used it that made it effective. And I think there's all kinds of those little subtleties in game design and in graphical presentation that you really want to have the user focused more on. This is like a real life experience that I'm in the game experiencing, versus like stuff that pulls you out of the game and makes the game feel artificial and fake, and it's more of like something you're playing as opposed to something you're experiencing. And I think that's like, you know, out of this stuff on game, you know, making games for the Xbox 360, things that we really try and do with, you know, all the EA Chicago games is really provide more of that sense of like you're in the game experiencing it than you're on the sofa playing it. And that's something we try and like, you know, I think we really learned from Fight Night Round 3 and that we now try and apply to like really all the games that we work on here.
Yeah, so let's move forward to Def Jam Icon. So this game came out about a month ago, and it's pretty unique because, you know, the tagline is "Music is your weapon." So somebody may pick this up and say, "Oh, it's just a fighting game." What do you say to somebody who says, "Oh, it's just a fighting game"? Let explain somebody who's never seen the game before what's this all about.
Yeah, you know, and I think we really had kind of three big goals in making Def Jam Icon, design goals from the beginning of the project. One was to have like kind of authentic hip-hop elements drive our core gameplay mechanics. Like there's been other hip-hop games, you know, whether you look at like a Saints Row or that 50 Cent Bulletproof game.
Right.
And really like all those games were is like you take an existing gameplay formula, throw some guys with bling in it shooting people, and boom, let's call it a hip-hop game, right?
Right, right.
And I think that's one of the great things about Def Jam Icon is like it's really the first hip-hop game that uses the core elements of hip hop to define the gameplay. And whether you look at like, so, you know, obviously, hey, the music drives like everything in the environment, and everything in the environment is kind of bouncing and bumping to the beat of the music. And, you know, in the fighting system, yeah, there's good toe-to-toe fighting, but it's really about using the, you know, environmental hazards to do damage to your opponent. And you really got to know the beats of the music to effectively use those environmental hazards. And so, you know, that definitely changes up the fighting system a bunch. Like our controls, we got those DJ controls where you can like control the music by adding your own beats to trigger hazards or changing songs, you know, right in the middle of the fighting, you know, again, using hip hop to drive our core gameplay. Plus even our one player story mode went from like previous Def Jam games where you've got rappers fighting in these CD underground clubs for money, which like, you know, I can tell you it's not like I'm best friends with like T.I. or The Game,
right,
or Ludacris at this point, but we've worked with them enough to know like they're not spending their time at night like in underground clubs fighting for money, you know, and really,
right,
wanting to make our one player experience more about building your own record label, signing artists, releasing songs, and really trying to build yourself up into an icon of the hip hop industry, hence the name of the game, which is a lot more authentic to hip hop. So I think that's, you know, one big thing for sure is just getting the hip hop elements driving our core gameplay. Plus, like, we really try to change the way fighting games are played where, you know, and I think fighting is one of those genres that it's so kind of typical of the approach of developers going from current gen to next gen where it's like you have all this, you know, new technology, you know, on the Xbox 360, and yet people just take, you know, the same old gameplay that you've seen in fighting games for the last 10 years, up-res the graphics, and call it, hey, that's an Xbox 360 game. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, we really try to change the way fighting games are played by making the environment like not so much a lifeless stage where this toe-to-toe fighting is going on, but really incorporating the environment as a third character in the fight, and how you're interacting with that, you know, environment character really has a lot to say about who's going to win the fight, who's going to do the most damage. And, you know, you can see that in just all the life in the environment and how everything's, you know, bumping to the beats of the music. And then like that, the whole toe-to-toe fighting system is set up to like kind of directionally, you know, knock or kick or grab and throw people through the environment into the hazards on the beats of the music to do the damage. So really like less just, you know, in the middle of the environment banging on buttons like trying to, you know, nonstop strike, but use more of your toe-to-toe fighting as a tactical setup for, you know, interacting with the environment and using the environment to do a lot of damage. So it's definitely different, you know, like fighting gameplay a lot and just how we're using the environment. And then really like kind of that third big goal we had was like trying to reach, I guess, what I like to call the next generation of next-gen art. Because it's, mm-hmm, like you look at so many games on the Xbox 360 and like developers are still just shooting for photorealism, you know?
Right,
and it's,
right,
like there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we did that for Fight Night Round 3. Fight Night Round 3, it totally makes sense that boxing, you're, you know, imitating real life, it should be photoreal, you know? But I just totally think, and again, this could be a little bit of the pissy artist type in me, but, you know, that like if really what the only thing that developers get to on the Xbox 360 is photorealism. I just feel like, you know, as game developers, we failed. Because, like, the true art of it to me is, like, taking the photorealism, using that as a base, and then adding your own style and tweaking the art out to really pay off a, like, cohesive experience where art, gameplay, and audio all are fulfilling the same goal for one kind of, you know, like, kind of cohesive and immersive gameplay experience. And you look at, like, what we did with the art in Def Jam Icon, the characters are photoreal, and that totally makes sense. You want Big Boy to look like Big Boy. You know, you want Paul Wall to look like Paul Wall. But, like, with the environments and the backgrounds, everything we did was to stylize the art to make it look like more of your inside a hip-hop video
right.
than just shooting for straight-up photorealism, you know? And I think that's, like, if you think about movies, like that movie, Sin City, right?
Right,
I don't
sure.
know if you ever saw that movie, but it's like,
absolutely.
Hey, you start with real actors and real environments, but then they totally stylized out the look and the feel of the art to pay off the overall kind of emotional tone for the movie that they were trying to convey. And I just think it's like, you know, as far as the, you know, the future of like kind of art on the Xbox 360, I'm just hoping a lot more game developers take the approach of like, this is the, you know, this is kind of the immersive gameplay experience that we're trying to give to the person playing the game. And instead of just, you know, trying to go, hey, look, well, that means everything's got to be photoreal. You know, it's really about presenting a style and a way that the game looks, feels, you know, sounds and plays that is all like supporting the same goal. And if, you know, the goal of our game was to like put people inside a hip hop video and make them feel like, you know, they're part of like, hey, you're inside a hip hop video while you're playing the game, then it's like, we got to pay that off with everything that we're doing, you know, especially the art.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary when you start playing it. What do you say to somebody who looks at this and says, well, I really don't like hip hop music? What can they load their own music in?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, it's funny because that's one of the questions you get asked, like, when we're showing the game around all the time. It's just like, okay, look, it's awesome fighting game, innovative controls, it looks great, but, like, I don't like hip-hop, why should I play?
Right.
And I think that's one of the beautiful things about the Xbox 360 is, like, you know, obviously you can play, you know, music through your Xbox 360, right? So you can, you know, hook up your MP3 player or, you know, take songs off CDs you have mm-hmm. and play them through your Xbox 360. But, like, you know, with every other game, all it really is like background music, right?
Right.
So it's
right.
like you're driving along in a racing game and, okay, you've got the music playing in the background that takes the place of the other audio. But it's like with Def Jam Icon, you know, if you understand our fighting system and how everything in the environment and everything in the fighting, it's all based and being driven, you know, by the music that's playing while the game is going on, that we developed this new proprietary technology exclusively for the Xbox 360 where you can load up any, you know, any song you want, any song the Xbox 360 plays, and it will not only play over the game, but it actually like interacts with the game, right? So all of the kind of way that the environment like bumps and beats to the, you know, to the music, or, you know, the way that the environmental hazards all get triggered by the music's beats.
Yep.
It doesn't just get done by the 30 songs in our soundtrack. You can load up any song you want and have like the same, it'll have the same control over the environment and the same impact on the fighting. So if you don't like hip hop, go load up some thrash music. Go load up some disco if you want. Go load up, you know, whatever kind of music, jazz.
Country music. Clock,
country music, anything. And you can go fight to that. And I think it's one of the things that, like, you know, understanding our design goals of, like, really wanting to have hip-hop drive our core gameplay mechanics, like authentic hip-hop elements that, like, you know, the very beginning of hip-hop was really, like, you know, two DJs, like, battling it out in a club, my music against your music, you know? And I think mm-hmm. that's the really cool thing about this feature is, like, hey, you know, if I really like 90s thrash music and you really like country, and I'm sitting there going, dude, country sucks, man. You know, no way. How can you like country? Then it's like, okay, you can load up a country song into our game. I can load up a thrash rock song, and then it's boom. You can show me why it is that country music is, like, you know, the best music by kicking my ass to it.
Right, yeah, it's really, and this gets back to one of the core tenets of the Xbox 360, it's about personalizing your game experience, and this is the ultimate personalization, because the music is now taking your personally selected music, or excuse me, the game is, and it's reacting and acting to what's going on in the music.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the great things, not only about the Xbox 360, but really what designers, game designers should be striving for on the, you know, on the 360, and it's kind of like goes back to what I was talking about before, where it's like, instead of providing a gameplay experience that is dictated and scripted to the user by the person who made the game, what you really want to do now is like allow the person to do whatever they want, whenever they want, within the title,
right.
And then, you know, give them the ability to, you know, be successful or be good at the game in any way that they want to play it, you know? And I think that, like, putting your own music in, that is one example for sure, and it's just, like, I just think it's the kind of thing that you want to do, like, you know, going back to what we were talking about with the impact punches on Fight Night Round 3, you know, instead of, like, okay, look, we're telling you can only use it 3 times, or we're telling you you have to use it after it's been charged up, or we're telling you, you know, like, hey, you can only use hip-hop music to experience this, that much more, like, you know, that the whole goal for me of what game designers should be trying to do on the Xbox 360 is enable everybody to play the game in the way they want to play it, and still have it be a fun gameplay experience.
Yeah, it sounds great. So, Kudo from EA Chicago, I appreciate you coming on the show and giving us a little peek into Def Jam Icon and your own personal resume. Before I let you go, would you like to tell people what your gamer tag is?
Yeah, you know, like, if you want to go see me online, it's actually Janae, J-A-N-A-A-E. So it's kind of a weird name, but it's like, you know, that's the gamer tag I go out there with. And it's like, it's funny, hopefully not too many people remember it, because, you know, any of the games that I work on, you know, it's one of the great things about the Xbox 360 and all the great online capabilities is, like, you know, it used to be when you made a game, it was so hard to really get a good sense of how people played the game, you know?
Right,
and, like,
right.
With a big, you know, that if you understand the design goal, if we want to make it so that people can play it any way they want and still have fun, it's, like, one of the things I so love to do is, like, go home and, like, you know, fire up a game that I've worked on, like Def Jam Icon, and go play people online and really get a sense of and seeing how they're playing the game, which, you know, until, like, the good online capabilities came around, you never really had any ability to do that. And, you know, pretty much I worked on Def Jam Icon for 2 years, so I feel like I could pretty much kick anybody's butt in the game out there. But, you know, the last thing I want to do is just go online and start stomping people left and right.
That's
so,
right.
You know, whenever you're playing Janae online in any of the games I worked on, I usually try and keep a, like, 50-50 record, you know, like half wins, half losses. And
right.
I'm definitely in there, like, you know, fighting it out, like making it the closest fight possible. And then, oh, you just beat me right at the last second. So, yeah, hopefully at least people don't remember my tag and will still get the same fun playing me than if they, you know, knew that I was somewhat throwing the fights.
So, yeah, keep an eye out for Janae's poker face.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at least you're going to get a lot of trash talking through the headset. I can tell you that much.
That's true. Kudo, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today from EA Chicago. Look for Def Jam Icon in your Xbox 360 now. Play it.
Hey, you know, I had a lot of fun doing the talk, so I appreciate the time, and really, like, yeah, you should check out Icon. Really hope everybody has as much fun playing it as we had making it.
All right, so Marketplace. We had Shivering Isles this week on Marketplace. Did you download it yet?
I have not. I haven't played Oblivion in a while.
Why? You were into that for a while. Hard.
Not that long. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I think I only closed maybe one Oblivion gate.
I think I did too.
The game's a little too open-ended for me. I like games that I don't like totally linear games, but I like games that are a little. There's a little more of a path that you're following.
Wait a minute. Before I forget, you talked about, you know, open-ended games. Just a little quick check. How's that orb hunting doing?
I actually have not played Crackdown in just over a week now.
Right.
So I need to get back to that.
Okay.
Because honestly, not only have, you know, a number of people been making fun of me for that over the last week, but several of my friends who were also stuck in the 495 to 499 range have all found their final orb. So I need to get back and just get that over with so that I can move on.
Tell them about the guy that emailed you. Who's
which one?
The one who said he knew where the final orb was.
Oh, yeah. So after the last cast, I got a ton of messages over live.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of people who were like, I know where it is. And then, you know, gave me a location on the map of this is where the final orb was for me, and I'm sure this is yours.
They're orb mind readers.
Yes. And unfortunately, every single location that they gave me, I was like, no, I've been there. I have that one.
Were they all giving you the same location, or were they all giving you different ones?
No, a couple of different locations.
Oh, okay.
A couple people named places in the Volk. A couple people gave me Shaijen.
Right.
I don't think anyone gave me a Los Muertos location. I appreciate the thought. But unfortunately, not helpful.
So. All right, we're gonna forge on ahead here. I don't know what else we could talk about. Hey, let's do name the game. So, last week's name the game. Here's the name the game sound from last week.
Yeah. Oh. Ah.
Oh. All right, E, I think you know which one that is, even though you only played a little bit of it. That was, of course...
Oblivion.
So that was because Shivering Isles was out this past week. I figured I'd make it a little bit topical. So here's all the papers. So why don't you go ahead and E, once again, as the special guest co-host here, is going to put his hand into the big hat and pull out a gamer tag. And this week's winner is?
The winner is Juanster.
The Juanster.
Yes.
Got to do the Juanster.
Juanster.
So, Juanster, congratulations. You grabbed yourself a Plantronics Major Nelson headset. You're this week's winner because you correctly guessed Oblivion. What I do is I take all the answers. Let's stop a bit. Let me give you the new sound clip right now. This is the new name of the game. All right. So, do you know what that is, E?
I have a guess. I'm not sure.
You have a lot of guesses, but you're probably right on this one.
I hear a lot of sounds in my head.
So. A lot of voices and a lot of sounds. But if you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com. Include your gamer tag if you have one. If you don't have one, E says
you should go get one. You can sign up for a silver account from your 360 console or on xbox.com.
A free one. So and then what I do is email me, major@xbox.com, with name the game, colon, in the subject line, and then your guess. Then we take all the correct answers, put them into a pile, and pull out one winner for a Major Nelson headset. So that's the way that works. Now we're going to get it. We already did Xbox 101. Trixie, she barged in here.
Yes.
I want to go on record as saying she barged in here.
She's Trixie. She does that.
Right. So she barged in here and talked about Xbox 101. So we're going to do that. Let's talk about a little bit gadgets. There was an interesting gadget this week that, I guess, was it a gadget? Deep Fish.
It's kind of tacky. It's not exactly a gadget. But.
So I want to talk about Deep Fish. Deep Fish was an announcement that the Microsoft Live Labs came out with. And I must stop the presses right now and have a chat with folks. Everyone was flooding the blog, getting angry at me because they were expecting two Xbox announcements. And what happened was the guys from Channel 9 came over and they teased that they had two announcements. They had the Xbox Elite one, which they ran video on.
Yep.
And then they also had the Deep Fish announcement, which came the next day. Well, everyone at Xbox and the Xbox thing was like, well, what's the other announcement? I'm going, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Whoa, we only had one. And I'm looking around. Remember, E, what, we got something else?
Yeah.
And so that was the deal there. We never said there were two announcements. There was only one. The
speculation was great.
As usual.
There was everything from the Halo 3 beta will be there when the service comes back online, to GTA 4 is going to be an Xbox 360 exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
You name it. It got...
It ran the gamut.
Yeah.
Did you watch the GTA 4 trailer?
I've seen bits and pieces. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Yeah,
but I was looking at it, and I was like, where are the orbs?
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem, because there aren't any.
No.
There aren't any.
I want to play a game like that without orbs.
Maybe by then you'll have found the 500th orb. So Deep Fish came out, which is kind of this interesting browser for your Windows mobile device, which allows you to zoom in and out of web pages. You know what? It looks like the iPhone thing.
What?
Haven't you seen when Steve Jobs did his big iPhone thing where you zoom in and out?
I guess that didn't jump to mind, but
That's, and just to be clear, the one over at Deep Fish has been under development for, we can't turn things around that quick. So clearly it's been under development for a while.
So it looks cool. I don't web browse much on my phone. I mean, about the only web browsing I do on my phone is I'll pull up, Fandango and say, hey, what movies are playing? Because I'm near a movie theater and we want to stop and see something.
Right.
Other than that, I mostly use my phone for text messaging and email.
A lot.
Yes.
You're always text messaging me.
Yes.
Which
would be really useful.
Yes,
if
yes.
You'd ever keep your phone with you.
Well, when I'm here, I keep my phone in the office.
Yes, which is really useful when you're not in the office. And then when you're at home, you keep it in the car.
Right.
Which makes no sense.
Because I'm at home. I got the phone at home. What do I know?
Uh-huh. Can you get text messages on your home phone?
I can't, which is what I like.
Just don't ever whine that, hey, you guys went to the movie and didn't invite me.
That always happens.
If we could get a hold of you,
call me at
actually
home.
Do invite you. You never want to go.
So what other gadgets do we have this week? I got a new Palm 750 Trio.
They look cool, but it's just
too big for you.
Yeah, I keep my phone in my pocket. My dash fits. The Trio is just a little too big for that.
You know why I got that was... because you can tether it. When I travel, I can tether. Speaking of travel, I'm going someplace. I'll talk about that in a second. But when I travel, I can put this thing in and just use the broadband speeds over my wireless provider.
And that's handy.
Yeah, way handy. Not only that, but when you're, it also has two channels. So it has a voice channel and a data channel. So you can actually send, make phone calls and receive phone calls while you're sending and receiving data.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, this all adds up to?
A very large phone bill?
Really sucky battery life.
Oh, yeah. I've
because it's just...
But if you're tethered to your laptop, plug it into the laptop and recharge that way.
Well, it does. I don't think it recharges. I think it just doesn't... It's like a net zero. It doesn't gain and it doesn't lose. It just kind of stays the same.
Okay, that works.
So it is cool. So the Trio 750W is what I got. Kind of like that. I got to install Deepfish on that thing because I really do like that phone.
So my guitars have shipped. I should have those Tuesday.
Okay.
Guitar Hero 2 on Tuesday. Very much.
So that is an excellent, excellent segue for where I'm going. So there is a Guitar Hero 2 event in New York City.
New York City?
I am going to New York City. The city's so nice, they named it twice. I'm going to be going there on Wednesday, April 11th.
Okay.
The event is from 12th, currently, this may change, 12:30 to 2:30 at the Virgin Megastore in Times Square.
Oh, cool.
So we are going to be doing a Guitar Hero 2 event there. I'm going to be bringing the Video Monkey, who works for us on that. We're going to be doing a video for Xbox.com. And I will be there with, because when you think Major Nelson, what do you think? You think Kiss, you think Gene Simmons.
Totally. Especially the makeup you wear to work every day.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, me and the Kiss Army are going to be there.
Now that, okay, Gene Simmons, Guitar Hero, I can totally see that.
So we're going to be there. So it's a free event. You know, anybody, if you're in town or if you're looking for something to do in your lunch hour on Wednesday, because you know, y'all, if you're anything like us around here, you're planning your lunch hour months in advance. We don't even know what we're doing in you know, today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
But that is April 11th. It's a free event. And we're going to have some people there performing. I don't know if, I'm sure they're going to have giveaways and some cool stuff.
Okay, I'm not going to swing by because it is in New York, and that's a little inconvenient.
Right.
But if you haven't seen Guitar Hero, if you haven't already pre-ordered a copy, if you're in New York, stop by. The game is amazing.
So you've played some of this on the 360, right?
I've played very little on the 360, but I've played a bunch on the PS2.
Right, so I want you to talk about why, if people have a PS2, why should they get this version?
So a bunch more songs.
Besides the achievements.
So, well, yeah, achievements right there, that's... reason enough, although this is not an easy 1,000 gamer score.
Really?
You're not going to be getting these, you know, the first day you have the game.
Okay.
Unless you're just a Guitar Hero god.
Right.
I think it's 70 songs that it comes with.
Right.
The song selection is really good.
Right.
And it looks phenomenal. They really upgraded the visuals.
And they're going to have the ability to download songs in the future over live.
Yes. So I don't know... you know, what songs they have planned, how many, but they've definitely been talking a lot about they are going to have downloadable content.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, the thought of, you know, 3 months from now, you know, getting another how many songs to play, yeah, that's going to be nice. And that's just going to extend the usefulness of those guitars.
So Guitar Hero event is Wednesday, April 11th. I will be in New York City. I'm actually going in a little early. I'm going to go up to New England to spend it with my sisters. So there's no show next week.
Okay.
No show next Sunday because
you should tell your ticket hunting story because this exemplifies everything that's wrong with trying to travel.
Oh my God! So I'm flying. I'm flying into Boston because my sisters live up in the Boston area, New England, and I'm flying out of LaGuardia. I was playing around with the dates, and it was really, really expensive, like $2,000. So I remember you came into the office. I'm playing around. I'm trying to book this, and I decided just to flip it around instead of flying into. Instead of flying into LaGuardia and out of Boston, I was flying into Boston out of LaGuardia. And the price of the ticket was like $350.
Yep.
What is going on over there? What are those people doing at the airlines?
I've never understood how that works, but a million times when I've been trying to, you know, book flights to go E3, CES, just, you know, on vacation somewhere, you know, you do a search and then, oh, you're taking someone with you, so you call up and say, hey, I can get, you know, these two tickets on this time. It's going to be this much money. Does that work? And they say, okay, great. So you click buy the tickets, and it comes back and says, sorry, those tickets aren't available anymore.
Yeah.
So then you're like, oh, no.
Reprice the tickets.
You reprice the tickets, and it gives you the same results. And you're like, maybe it'll work this time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. And then you try it again, and all of a sudden they've doubled, or they've... you know, gone down by $50. It's the most confusing thing ever.
Yeah, airline pricing, bad. So I'm flying into Boston, so no show next Sunday. I'll spend it with my sisters. I'm taking the train down on Tuesday, and then I'm going to do the Sirius Satellite show, my show on Sirius Satellite. I'll be doing that from the studio. Normally I do it from out here, but I'll do that live in studio. And then Wednesday we'll do the event. So Wednesday, Virgin Megastore. Wednesday, the 11th of April, Virgin Megastore. Major Nelson and Gene Simmons are going to rock Times Square.
Oh, boy. I need to get some GH2 gamer score before the event.
Well, you should. It comes out this week.
That'll be my mission.
It comes out this week.
Yeah.
We'll have some folks there. I think Psyche's going to be there from the Frag Dolls.
Yeah, she's from New York.
Yeah, I think I talked to her. She said she's going to swing by. So, hey, listen, if you guys are in New York, and please, I know. Look. Let's just have a chat here. It doesn't make any sense to bring Gene Simmons to Oklahoma. Okay, I know. It seems like we're always doing stuff in L.A. and San Francisco, and New York. We'd love to, but
Oklahoma.
Yeah, why not?
Okay,
I'd love to see the Midwest.
Is that the Midwest, or is that just that's central? It's not really west of anything. Except the east.
It's the middle of the west.
It's the middle of, well, I don't want to anger everyone in Oklahoma.
So. Yeah. Anyway, so we're always looking to try to do, and I think we're planning on doing some other events, not around Guitar Hero, let me be clear, just in the future in different areas. But it seems like we're always in New York because it's frankly the easiest to get to. We got tons of people there, and it's a Virgin Megastore.
Yes. I've actually been to that one.
You have?
I was there a year ago, something like that.
What were you doing in New York?
Last time I was in New York. It was a work thing.
So I think I'm staying across the street. But I'm psyched to get some good pizza. God darn it.
There's also, if that's where I think it is, it's also like across the street from the Toys R Us.
Yeah, the big Toys R Us there.
That place is cool.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the Toys R Us is there. So, all right. So I'll see you on April 11th, New York City. Hey, so a lot of people, I put out a call last week to people to ask to tell me what games am I missing on my gamer card?
That's right. You're missing more than we both thought.
Wow. Yeah. Am I ever? Somebody sent, first of all, I don't remember who it was. I don't have the mail in front of me. Somebody sent me the Excel sheet.
Yes, with pivot
with pivot tables. Yeah. It was rather impressive. But it turns out I'm missing, what is it, like 10, 20, probably like 30 of them. I mean, look at this list.
Yeah, there's several of them that...
FIFA, and Blue Dragon. Well, Blue Dragon isn't released
yet.
Bomberman, College Hoops, Dance Revolution.
That's Japanese only.
Yeah, I know. There's some
every party came to the U.S.
Right.
What is that?
Diario. I think it's Japanese.
We did say
Ghost Recon 3. I played GR3.
Yes, it's Graw though, so maybe that's where.
Graw. Yeah.
We did. Some of these are bogus because we did specifically say no Japanese only or European only titles.
Right.
It had to be available in North America.
I didn't play Open Season. You played a lot of that.
I didn't. I got like 4 achievements. I didn't play that much. I do know people who finished it.
Right. So anyway, I want to thank everybody that sent me the list. I'm going to be going through and bulking up my gamer card. Not my score. I don't do that.
Okay. Love Football was not a North American title.
Right. Madden. Meet the Robinsons. I already played that one last night. Talking about that.
ICC Cricket 2007. Even if that was a North American title, no.
But cricket people love that. Love that game.
I don't. I'm just confused by that game.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I am too.
Wait a minute. You never played Need for Speed Most Wanted?
Yeah, this doesn't seem right.
And I know you've played Rayman, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because we were having the discussion about Rayman on the Wii versus Rayman on the 360.
Yeah, my wife loves that thing.
That's a great game.
She loves that thing.
That's one of my favorite Wii games.
She's killing me on the Wii, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like the games, the Wii Sports and the other Wii Play. My God, she's like smoking me. Every night we go home and we play for like a half an hour and she's killing me. She's like, look at me. What, are you trying? Yes, I'm trying.
What I actually find really amusing is the look my dogs give people when they're playing the Wii.
Oh, they just can't figure out what's going on?
Yeah, they're like, what are you doing? And they just kind of sit there and stare at you for a little while, like, stupid humans.
So. All right, let me see what else we have here. I appreciate you sitting in on the show this week.
Well, it's, you know, not like I have anything to actually do.
Yeah, that's true. And now the service is back.
Yeah, so clearly I have nothing to do for the next 6 months. So.
Yeah, now you take it Sunday. Well, I appreciate you coming down your Sunday to do this. So, you have anything else you want to say? Because otherwise, we'll just we'll wrap it up and I'll go start throwing some games in my console.
You know, I'm sure I have a whole bunch of things that I can think of immediately.
Oh, you know, we didn't do. We didn't talk about HD DVDs.
Oh yes.
So you and I were talking. You know, we were talking last week about how they really need to get some HD DVDs out.
And ta-da, we ask and we shall receive.
And ta-da, so let's take 70 movies are on the way.
Yes. I did actually, just a couple days ago, I got my latest HD DVD.
You did?
Happy Feet arrived.
All right, so here's the list coming out, HD DVDs. If you got that HD DVD player, let's go through this list real quickly.
So I'm buying Children of Men.
Right.
That's a March title. I already have Happy Feet. I may repurchase March of the Penguins. I have the DVD. Not sure if I'm going to get the HD version or not, but it's tempting. I like Penguins.
A Scanner Darkly looks interesting.
We're in April now.
Okay,
so
right.
April titles. Scanner. I saw, I shouldn't have, but I was taken to see Scanners when I was like six.
Uh-huh.
And that was a little disturbing as a six-year-old, so I'm not
Well, so it's this is up in the video marketplace, too.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it there either.
Feast
is kind of interesting because Feast was the movie that was shown in Project Greenlight,
mm-hmm.
season two or maybe season three.
Right.
And Project Greenlight was a very interesting series. I didn't know a whole lot about the making of.
Right.
So I might buy it just because of that.
So we got Dog Day Afternoon, The Jerk, good film, Nutty Professor.
Yeah, that's great. The new phone books are here.
And the new phone book. The Ultimate Matrix Collection, we talked about that. Now, what's interesting, the Ultimate Matrix Collection and Complete Matrix Trilogy, do we know?
One of them, and it's the Ultimate Matrix Collection, has a whole bunch more, you know, making of.
Extras.
Reviews with directors, all right. That kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I'm just going to buy the Ultimate. Have to have it.
Dreamgirls, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Flags of Our Fathers, Hitcher, Mission Impossible, MI1, and MI2.
Those are tempting just because those are the kind of flicks that you can kind of watch over and over again over a pizza.
The Road Warrior.
Oh.
Mad Max style.
That's interesting.
So okay. That could be fun.
The Big Lebowski might be good.
The Battle of the Bulge. I love my war movies. Yeah. How could you not like war movies?
You're going to pick up Lost in Translation.
Oh, for God's sakes. I love that film.
Okay, so June.
We're into June.
The Meaning of Life. I'm a Monty Python nut, so
right.
I've got to get that.
Right. We're just looking through the list here.
The concerts.
Sneakers. Yeah, no thanks.
Sneakers was a good movie.
Trading Places.
Yeah, okay. Wait a minute. Why is Cat in the Hat coming out in high def?
Because it's colorful.
Okay. I may skip that one. The Bourne Identity, that I'll be picking up. I love that movie. The book was great. I loved it as a kid. Loved the movie. So
there's
a nice selection.
They're starting to come up with this.
Yeah.
That's the good news. I don't have the list of what came out on HDD and on the video marketplace this week, do I?
There was a whole bunch of things, and we did actually. We forgot to talk about the announcements. We just announced some new.
Oh yeah,
on Video Marketplace.
Let's talk about that. Hold on.
So for everyone who's not in the United States,
you can
I apologize
pretty much
right
end
now.
The show now. Good yeah. night, everybody.
But we announced A&E. So I don't remember the details, but Dog the Bounty Hunter, things like that.
Right.
We announced that Paramount, I think it was going to be bringing a whole bunch of HD content.
Right.
And they'd only had SD up until now.
Right.
And then there were two other partners. Who else was there?
Well, we've got, what is it? National Geographic.
Oh, ADV. That's the one I was thinking of. So if you're into either anime or if you buy a lot of like old sci-fi TV collections,
right.
like Farscape, things like that, ADV is who publishes a lot of that. So I don't know which content they're bringing,
uh-huh.
but I know I'm excited about ADV being on Video Marketplace.
So there's some good stuff up there. That's coming soon. We have, you know, obviously with the big hard drive being announced at the end of April, you can now fill it up with all sorts of wonderful stuff.
I've actually started using it a little bit more because I've run into a couple of cases where my DVR is both tuners are going to be recording something, and there's a third show I want to watch at the same time.
How much TV could you possibly watch?
It's not hard to find show. I mean, when you're looking at good shows, they're all counter-programming against each other.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a really strong show on ABC, NBC will put,
right.
you know, a really good show up against it. And it gets really bad during football season.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, you know, you've got Monday Night Football on one tuner, and then, you know, hey, what else is on? And so it gets to be a challenge. So I now actually sometimes will use Video Marketplace as a third tuner to watch the thing that I wasn't able to record.
I'm just looking through some of the stuff that's up there. You know, the Scanner Darkly HD version is up there. New South Park current episodes up there. South Park, people love that.
Yeah, I'm amazed at how popular South Park is. It's just, I mean, people are all over that. I watched, what was the one I watched the other day? It wasn't the free episode. It was, which one was the one we made available for free in HD?
Good Times with Weapons.
That's right. So the other one I watched was Make Love Not Warcraft.
Right.
That's funny.
Indeed it is. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up now. So I'm going to thank my friends at CentralCom.net for dealing with all the crazy Major Nelson March Meltdown madness last week where the site just went blah. See, I have my own problems, Z.
Yeah.
People ask me, why don't I have you and your team host the site? And you guys are too busy, in reality.
Essentially, yeah.
You guys are just too busy.
There's plenty of other things going on.
So that's why. So I have the guys at CentureCom do that. So I want to thank them for fixing us up with some hardware and accelerators and all that stuff. They give me a secured and assured hosting environment. Also, CashFly for hosting all the shows. And thank you guys at CashFly. It's Larry here, Xbox Live Major Nelson with E, who wants to say
thank you for your patience, everybody. Enjoy the service.
And I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. I'll see you in New York, April 11th. Guitar Hero, Virgin Megastore, downtown, 1230 to 230. Please be there. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. We're going to do a quick after show. You want to do a quick after show? We're recording now.
Okay. I'd like to point out that even though last time I knew there was an after show because we'd recorded an after show, the gap in between the end of the show and the after show was so long that I almost shut my player down and went to bitch at you.
Even though you did the after show.
Yeah, I was like, well, he obviously decided not to include it, and then I got distracted, and eventually there was the after show. So are you going to do that again this week?
No, I will. No, I don't know. I was just looking at Twitter. We didn't talk about Twitter.
Oh God! Yes.
So Twitter is the site. You know, twitter.com. You can go there, and it's like, how would you describe this site?
Microblogs.
Yeah, I call it like really micro. It's exactly what I call microblogging because it's 140 characters of what you're doing right now.
It's the equivalent of a text message.
Right.
I think the average text message the maximum is 160 characters.
I think you're right.
So that's essentially it.
But it's I actually was using that during the maintenance window when my website, when MajorNelson.com was acting up, I was able to go over there and I was just Twittering like crazy, letting people, you're going to see E, back from seeing E, E's cranky, avoid E.
Went to E's office, got thrown out of E's office,
yes.
Went back to E's office.
Got thrown out of E's office, so a lot of that. So Twitter's kind of cool. I've got 500 and something like 550 friends already.
Now, can you view a Twitter blog without being a friend?
I think you can.
That's just like a subscription.
Yeah, you can just go to twitter.com/MajorNelson, and you can just look at what I'm doing. You don't have to actually subscribe to anything. You can set it up that way. So, yeah, see, reading my email. Hey, the new Halo 2 maps were announced. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, how did we miss that?
Wow, we missed it. You want to talk about that? Because you've played them.
Yes. I was lucky enough to get involved in some of the playtesting. They are a blast. The one that I love the most is the remake of Hang 'em High. Hang 'em High was far and away my favorite Halo 1 map.
Right. I didn't like that map.
You didn't like Halo 1 as much.
No, that's not true. I love Sidewinder. Love Sidewinder.
Sidewinder was fun, but
I just
you like it because it had vehicles and
right. I'm right.
But we won't talk about that because you don't ever play Halo 2 anymore.
There's so many good games on the 360.
Yeah. But the Hang 'em High remake is just outstanding.
It's kind of industrial from what I looked at the screenshots.
Yeah, a little bit. That's a good way to describe it. It's a little bit dark. It's a little bit, you know, kind of bronzes and metal colors. I don't really know how to describe it. They're $4.
Right.
Or they will be $4 when they come out in, I think, mid-April, like the 17th.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
The one thing for everyone to keep in mind, because this is downloadable content for an Xbox One game, you can't buy it with points. You can't buy it in Marketplace. Xbox One games have no notion of points in Marketplace. So you go into the download content option in the Halo 2 menu, and you have to have a credit card associated with your account.
Oh, good point.
So they can bill the $4 to you.
Right. So how do you do that?
If you created your account on Xbox One, you already had a credit card associated to it back then.
Right.
So as long as it hasn't expired, you've still got one.
Right.
If you don't have a credit card associated to your account, you're going to need to add one before you can buy these maps. I'm pretty sure you can do that on the web now. Go into My Xbox.
Trixie and I were looking at that earlier.
Info. If you can't do it there, I know you can do it at billing.microsoft.com, but pull it up and... So you go to My Xbox, and go back one. You go to billing and contact information,
right?
And I bet it's in there.
Oh, it's
okay. And that actually takes you to billing.microsoft.com, where you're going to be able to manage that and add a credit card. So
okay.
You will need that to buy those maps.
Okay. But you played them and you like them?
They're a lot of fun. Yeah, they're. If you're a Halo 2 fan, you've got to get them.
And who isn't? Right.
I mean, you don't play very much. I still play it a lot.
Well, you play it because you're always hanging out with all the girls in there.
I don't just play it to hang out with girls. I will admit that's fun, but...
Well, we talked about this last week. I can't play it because of the girls, because I can't have more than two girls in the room.
Yeah, but that's...
In the party.
Wrong.
No, it's not!
A bunch of cute game-playing girls want to come hang out with you, and that's bad?
I'd rather do it in person.
You can do both.
Yeah.
Anyways, I do still play a lot of H2. It's just fun. It's a great social experience.
Oh, I totally agree.
So
totally agree.
You should come play.
Yeah, maybe I will. I'll give it a jump in when we get into these. Are you going to get me some early map action?
No.
All right.
Can come to the playtest.
No, I couldn't. I wasn't invited.
That's right. I never forwarded that mail to you, did I?
Yeah, you didn't see this? Do you see this? Do you see what he does to me?
Yeah. So
he doesn't forward me mail. I'm going to add that to my Twitter.
Well, you wouldn't have come anyways. It was at, like, Monday nights, like Monday from 7 to 9. And you would have, like, found something.
No, I would have been. I don't know. That's not true. I would have definitely been there.
No.
But I wouldn't have been invited, so.
The sad thing is the people who were playtesting, some of them were really good. I got smoked a lot.
Well, I would expect them to be.
It was a couple of Bungie people, some of the same guys that we do Halo 2 lands with on Thursdays fairly regularly, and just, wow, these people are good.
So Halo 2 maps.
Halo 2 maps.
Did you sign up for Twitter? You didn't sign up.
I have not signed up for Twitter. Honestly, I rarely blog, and the biggest reason is most of the things I want to talk about, I can't.
Right. I just get you on this show, and this is your outlet.
Yeah. I mean, there are tons of things I would love to blog about and say, here's what happened to me today, and then, let's see, that's covered by NDA, that's covered by NDA.
I can't say that.
So there's really no point. I blog occasionally about, you know, vacations and, you know, oh, went and did this with my son, or, oh, you know, took my dog here, but nothing interesting.
Or you know, Oregon lost.
Yes, we did lose. We lost a
fight. We recorded the last week's show right before the game, and I'm glad we did it right before the game because you were not happy.
That sucked. We, Tawan Porter, who's this great freshman that we've got, he's 5'6".
Right.
Nobody wanted him.
Right.
He was just on fire. The game before, in the to get us into the Elite Eight, he scored 33 points. And was just on fire from three-point land. And unfortunately, against Florida, he was just cold. I got to give a little props to Florida. They played good defense on him. He didn't get a lot of open shots, but he didn't have it that night. And we got it close. It was down to within 2 points at the very end, but we just didn't have the firepower that day.
Next year.
Next year.
I want a Syracuse-Oregon matchup.
Syracuse, Oregon, I don't know. Have we ever played in basketball?
I don't think ever.
Not that I can think of.
Not that I'm aware of. So, I know Syracuse is playing University of Washington this. Oh, that's football.
I'll root for Syracuse in that. Oh, really? Gladly. I'll wear orange. I don't care.
Against University of Washington.
Yeah, not a dog fan am I. Which is interesting living up here. Because I've got the big green and yellow sign on my door.
Yes, you do.
I've got a big, you know, green and yellow flag that I fly in front of my house during football season.
Yes, you do.
There's the stickers on the door and the windows. It's challenging.
You Oregon fans are crazy. Yeah. I got to tell you something, man. Growing up on the East Coast, you know, I thought fans out there were kind of off the hook, like the Georgetown fans. No, Oregon fans are, like, off the map.
Well, I think it's more in contrast to other West Coast sports fans.
Maybe that's it.
On the West Coast, people don't take sports seriously like they do in the South
or right.
the East Coast.
Right. Right.
I've had this conversation a couple of times with Paul Bunyan.
Right.
He and I are both rabid football fans.
Right.
Both college and pro. And we talk about it all the time during the season. We talk about the draft. We talk about trades.
Right.
And trying to get just a group together to, you know, hey, come over and let's watch Monday Night Football together, or do you want a road trip to a game mm-hmm. or anything like that, it's really hard to find people who are that into sports here. But if we lived in, you know, Georgia or Florida mm-hmm. or West Virginia, anywhere like that, it'd be a no-brainer.
Well, what are people into out here, then? I'll tell you, they're into
traditional sports. I mean,
climbing rocks and wearing fleece.
I don't wear much fleece. I do rock climbing.
I know you do.
Rock climbing is
fun.
It's great outlet. Great yes. exercise. It's a ton of fun.
But what are they? What are people? Are they?
They're more into. I mean, more into doing outdoorsy solo things.
Right. That's a good point.
Actually, a good way to describe it is in the Northwest, people are more into participation than they are into viewing.
Whereas that's fair.
I like to do both.
Right. That's okay. So that's a fine point on it.
So I'm probably split two-thirds of it is viewing, you know, college. I drive 6 hours to
right.
go to home games for football.
But the thing I love about you is that, I don't think you've ever talked about this, is that your National Football League team is?
Well, I kind of have two, but the main one's Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, which I just think is bizarre.
So, well, you form those kind of allegiances when you're a little kid.
Yep.
And when I was, when I was seven, we lived in Portland, and the Blazers won the title. So I guess anyone who wants to do some math knows how old I am now. So my dad had season tickets to the Blazers back then. They won the title. Right after that, we moved to Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
which the Blazers had just beat for the title,
mm-hmm.
which, let me tell you, made fourth grade kind of interesting.
Yeah. Here's the new kid.
Where are you from? Oh, yeah, let's kill him. But the company that my dad worked for there was really big in sponsoring, you know, all the different team banquets and events and all that as a marketing thing. So all of a sudden we had essentially unlimited tickets to baseball, basketball, football, everything but Flyers
the whole
hockey, because that had been sold out for forever.
Right.
So boom.
The Spectrum?
It was the Spectrum.
And the Veteran Stadium.
It was the Vet.
Yeah, wow.
The Vet was awful. I remember one game where we didn't have our usual seats for some reason. So we were actually sitting not the top row of the Vet, but the next to top row. And this was a December game against Detroit. And it was ice cold.
Because the wind's blowing in off the Delaware River.
It was horrible. Die. But we won like 44-12 or something like that. But anyways, Eagles fan. I'm also a Seahawks fan.
Right.
You know, I grew up in the Northwest. I've now been in Seattle a few years. And I'm probably now more of a Seahawks fan than I'm an
right.
Eagles fan, actually.
All right, we're going to wrap the show up again. No show next week, but I will be in April 11th. I'll be in New York City for Guitar Hero. Hopefully we'll see some people there. If you listen to this show and you're coming, please find me.
So in lieu of a show for next week, we should... Now, Major's going to look at me funny because I didn't share this idea with him because I just thought of it.
Right.
We should do something in lieu of a show for next week. We should come up with something for your blog.
Okay.
I don't know what. I'm just thinking, you know, people are going to be bored. We should do something.
All right. So for the April 8th show, which is Easter, the problem is it's going to be Easter, so a lot of people celebrate Easter.
I'm going to be celebrating Easter at SakuraCon.
And
anime convention.
So actually, Easter's coming up, and then right after that, Passover, right? Passover's coming up soon.
Something like that, yeah.
So there's a lot going on. I don't want to get into a religious discussion, but...
We can have a discussion about eating chocolate rabbits.
All right.
So everyone needs to remember the two tricks to eating chocolate rabbits. First, you sneak up on...
Hold on a minute. It's Bunyan calling, so you keep talking, and I've talked to him, okay?
Okay, that's fine. So you have to do one of two things first. You have to get either the ears or the feet first.
Yes.
Now, if you get the ears, you have the advantage of they won't hear you coming next time.
Okay.
If you get the feet first,
right,
there's the thing that they won't be able to run away.
Right.
So then you can be as loud as you
sorry
want.
Sorry about that.
Just be laying there, you know, waiting for the next
person. That was really annoying. I'm sorry. I was on the phone. Paul Bunyan called me in the middle of this because he wanted something.
Yeah, when Bunyan, you know, needs something to
yeah.
stop.
Wow. All right, well, that's it. So I have no idea what you were saying when I was on the phone.
You're okay.
All right.
Clear.
So, all right, well, we're going to go now. So thanks for coming in, and I'll talk to you guys later. See you in New York.
Bye, everybody.